our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 348, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows? Psalter 348, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Zechariah 5. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Zechariah 5. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll, the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off, as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off, as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof, and the stones thereof. Then the angel that talked with me went forth, and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes, and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said moreover, This is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted up I mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it is thy good and thy gracious hand that has brought us and our children once more up on this beautiful Lord's Day within the walls of thy house, to thy house of prayer. And may it please thee to make it a house of prayer indeed, and that for a prayerless people, but may it also be a house of thanksgiving, humbled under all thy goodness and under thy mercies, and to that end also a house of repentance. Lord, then thou yet makest such a great difference with most of the people upon the face of the earth, temporally, outwardly. We commend the nation under war. We remember the hungry ones, those that are refugees, wandering upon the face of the earth, the homeless, the destitute, great numbers in prison, in institutions of mercy, in hospitals, and what maketh us and our children to differ, when we may have a place in thy house, and wilt thou remember those, the elderly ones, those that are caring for the little ones, and other lawful reasons, works of necessity. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee, may it please thee to grant a deep impression of what a solemn thing it is to be a human being with a body and with a soul, where we have come forth out of thy hand, so perfect, created in thy image, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, where our first parents were given to praise thee most perfectly. But we have lost that image, but thou still rightfully demands that image back. May that be impressed upon our hearts, O Lord. Thou knowest how deep we have fallen, dead in sins and trespasses, not able and willing to turn unto thee. And to that end, thou hast promised in thy word that thou shalt bless thy word, that by the foolishness of preaching, that thou shalt save some, Lord. Wilt thou convert what is unconverted? Thou hast left us with a rational mind, and therefore responsible. Thou hast given unto us and our children a tongue that is used to speak many words. May it be used to cry mightily unto thee, that thou mayst stretch out thy almighty arm, and that by the work of thy Spirit, that sinners may be converted. Thou hast promised in thy word that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure, throughout all generations. Then thou wast given by renewal, that we may enter upon the beautiful time of spring, when thou renewest the face of the earth. And then, Lord, we may also humbly ask thee, where the farmers have begun to entrust the seed to the earth, we may acknowledge thee in the past weeks that thou wast given some moisture, but thou knowest how dry it is. And if thou doth not open the heavens, then the seeds may sprout and shoot up a blade. But then it shall be as the seed that has fallen upon the stony ground, that it shall soon wither and die away. And to that end, may it please thee to open the heavens and refresh the thirsty earth. Wilt thou also grant in the midst of the congregation that the number that have learned to thirst and hunger after righteousness, that number may greatly be increased, that many may become seekers, and true seekers, they shall become finders. Well, to grant the further leadings in the life of thy people, as was Simon, that he has come to the cross, and he was given to behold wonderful things. His name shall be called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Do bless the manifold means of grace. Help fathers and mothers to that end in the midst of the family circles. Bless thy word in the midst of the church. Wilt thou help, strengthen, remember the consistory to that end in their weighty and responsible tasks on the Lord's day, also during the week. When thou granteth it, then tomorrow evening, then the catechism classes hope to meet once more for the last time. We may acknowledge thee for thy help. We may also acknowledge thee that in the past season thou wast spared students and instructors. Although it has pleased thee in this past season to take out of her midst an handicapped daughter. Wilt thou bless thy word also in our Christian school when thy word may be opened? Wilt thou remember and help the school board, administration, teachers, grant traveling mercies to and fro? We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember the established churches. May it please thee to grant more servants for thy vineyard, a mission worker for our mission field, and also more teachers for our Christian schools. Lord, do uphold the persecuted church, so many places where thy church may and cannot gather freely, where also in this day many have gathered with many fears. Remember all those in prison being tortured for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do take the veil off the Jewish nation, not only in the way of understanding, but in the way of experience. Remember the nations of the earth. Remember our poor nation. our nation has become an Ichabod, where the glory has departed, where we have left thy word, thy institutions, thy laws, and to that end, the difficulties and the trials shall only increase. Also the enmity against thee, thy dear son, the truth, and thy church, that will only increase. Wilt thou grant unto us and our children that we may stand in the evil day, and that we may be a separated people. Remember our province, the premier. Remember all the governments of the cities, also of our town. Wilt thou remember and bless our community. May it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit where there is air, that the truth may return. And, Lord, wilt thou keep that old truth for us and our dear children, and then it is so necessary that that truth may be experienced, because then we love that truth, and then we shall strive for that truth and willing to sacrifice for the old truth. We commend unto thee an old father and mother who in this week hope to remember and commemorate that thou wast spared them for 59 years on life's journey as husband and wife. Wilt thou remember them when the infirmities only increase, coming closer to eternity, ah, Lord. Wilt thou convert them, as thou hast converted all thy people. It has become very late, but it is not too late for thee. Wilt thou grant them a good day. Wilt thou grant them a humble and broken heart under all thy mercies. We commend unto thee the sick and afflicted, the father in the hospital, a serious condition. Lord, we commend him once more unto thee, for body and for soul. Remember him together with his dear wife, the family circle. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens. Remember all our elderly ones in the care home, with those that may lovingly care for them and those that may go in and out. Do remember all the mourning ones. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Remember the family circles. May love abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children. When it is not so, may there be a bowing of the knees and a repentance what has been separated. May it please thee to bring it together. Remember those that are struggling with addictions and with temptations. Ah, Lord, may they be given to cry unto thee and to use the means, and that it may please thee to deliver them and above all save them. Once more on this day, we ask thee for the work of thy Holy Spirit in speaking and in listening. We are so dependent upon thee. Once more we are called upon to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai. Wilt thou add thy blessing first time, and also by renewal, Lord, we have many things to ask thee. We have many matters to acknowledge thee for. We have to confess, nothing to plead upon. To that end, may we be given to plead upon thy mercy, the multitude of thy mercies which are so vast and which are so great, Lord. Remember us then with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our transgressions, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 243, the stanza 6 through 9. For him my mercy shall endure, my covenant made with him is sure. His throne and race I will maintain forever, while the heavens remains, and what follows. 243, the stanza 6 through 9. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 37, the question and answers 101 and 102. Question 101. May we then swear religiously by the name of God? Answer, yes. Either when the magistrates demand it of the subjects, or when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity and truth to the glory of God and the safety of our neighbor. For such an oath is founded on God's word, and therefore was justly used by the saints, both in the Old and New Testament. Question 102. May we also swear by saints or any other creatures? Answer, no. For a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. Lord's Day 37 speaks of the swearing of a lawful oath religiously. Three thoughts. First, the required oath. Secondly, the scriptural oath. And thirdly, the witnessed oath. The swearing of a lawful oath religiously. The required oath, the scriptural oath, and the witnessed oath. Thus first, the required oath. Beloved congregation, in this evening hour, then by renewal, then we are called upon to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai and to hear what the Lord has to say unto us. Then we must remember that in the context of the Heidelberg Catechism, then it is in the part of gratitude. And people of God, how has it been thus far when we have dwelt at the foot of Mount Sinai and we have heard of the introduction and the first three commandments? We read of the children of Israel in Exodus 19 that they were sorely afraid, that they have trembled. And then we have all heard also the living church that concerning already the first three times we have stood, dwelt at the foot of Mount Sinai, that we are very guilty. But how do we not now live therewith? Also, God's child can be so orthodox with the contemplation of the truth, and that we can so quickly and easily say, but here below there is no perfection that is laid away for the church in the heavens. Do we not read in Romans 7 that Paul has spoken of those things, may then ask you, child of God, then the three times already, have we resembled a little the Apostle Paul, where he has said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death? When we have stood a few times at the foot of Mount Sinai concerning the first table, has the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer received a more important place in our prayer life, an impression of our sins, our instructors? They were led deeply and far in the things of the Lord, and to that end, at the end of the commandments, then they have asked, and that is fitting after each commandment. In question 115, why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? First, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. What a blessed place for the child to come. My unconverted fellow travelers, then you have heard very clearly that we are all very guilty. And what has it now wrought out in our life? Or do we perhaps think, I am not as bad as the world that never goes to church, a great privilege, when we may be under the truth, or that you try to excuse we are dead in sins and trespasses, so we cannot do anything, but may ask you, is that now a solution? Shall all your excuses, shall they stand in the great day of judgment? Then you shall not have an answer upon 1,000 questions. And to that end, may the preaching of the law be used by the Spirit as a mirror to bring you in the need. And that is a poor sinner, that you may be given to cry unto the Lord for mercy. And may it also be used for seeking souls, that it may be used as a schoolmaster to show us how guilty that we are, and that room is made for the precious mediator. In our Heidelberg Catechism, then we have two Lord's Days concerning the third commandment in the first edition. Then our Heidelberg Catechism was not divided. That has been done in the fourth edition. And then it is always necessary to understand the history, the context, when the Heidelberg Catechism was written, and then this Lord's Day, then question 101, that is against the Anabaptists, an offshoot of the Reformation. We believe in that time that also in different groups, that there were still people of God, but and that means against. They have stressed the inner life is important. They have spoken about the inner light does not mean. They have not spoken about the Holy Spirit, but even that inner light separated from the Word of God. Then they have not put so much stress on the outward things, more on the inner life to that end. Anna, that is a Greek word that means against. They were against infant baptism because those children could not believe. They have also separated many of them, separated the spiritual things, the spiritual life, their religious life from their daily life. Then perhaps we hear that we also have those trends in our life, that we make a separation between the two. Then they have also not put so much importance, it is true, the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. They have spoken and stressed the necessity of natural fathers, but concerning government fathers and church fathers, they did not see so much neither of. And to that end, they would not enlist as a soldier to fight in the army. They have despised the Old Testament, stressed more the New Testament, and the Anabaptist. They would also not swear an oath. To that end, the instructors thought it fitting to address the heirs of the time and the three main reformers, Luther, Zwingli, and Calvin. They all had trouble with the Anabaptists in different ways. And to that end, the instructors, they have spoken about the swearing of a religious oath. Then that people who believe it is forbidden, they also have their text in Matthew 5, the verses 34 and 37, and in James 5, verse 12. Then there is written in God's word, the Jews, they had such a respect for the personal name of the Lord, Jehovah, that they would never mention it. And then also with the swearing of their oaths, then they sometime would swear by the heaven, whom the Lord has made, by the earth, by the temple, by the gold. And then there is a warning against swearing with those things. We must swear in the name of the Lord. And then also stressed, because this Lord's Day, that is a continuation of what we have heard in the last Lord's Day, what is required in the third commandment, that we not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing. Then in this Lord's Day, then there is spoken of rash swearing. And a rash swearing is an unnecessary making of oaths. In the second place, that we lightly make an oath. In the third place, that we falsely make an oath. In the fourth place, that we irreverently make an oath. And in the fifth place, that ignorantly we make an oath. Thus then, congregation, in this evening hour, then we may also consider it as a preparatory sermon for what hopes to take place on the coming Lord's Day, when the Lord grants it, with the administration of the sacrament of holy baptism. And then we must not only think of those parents who hope to present their little children to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant, but for all parents, when they hope to hear what they have promised, and of the different oaths that are made in the house of God, concerning the offices, concerning becoming a full member in the church, and also concerning marriage. Then it is clear, then the instructors are given to state that the oath is lawful and that it is required in paradise. Then no oath was necessary. The Lord has created us in His image in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. But we have given the hand of fellowship to the devil, who was called in John 8, verse 44, a liar from the beginning. Thus in this Lord's Day, when we read of the required oath, that is a testimony against us, our deep fall in Adam, and now concerning an oath. There are many in our day. You can understand an atheist shall not make an oath. Many that despise God's word. Also, when they are placed in a place, a special place of authority and duty, then they no longer make an oath, but they only make a promise. Thus, in the first place, then the oath, we make a confession that we believe in the living God who knoweth all things. In the second place, it is a prayer, a calling upon the Lord as one that witnesses everything that we are speaking the truth and nothing but the truth. Then with the making of an oath and in a special way, then we are placing ourselves in the immediate presence of an all-knowing, an omnipresent, a just, and an almighty God. When we read in this question, may we then swear religiously in the name of God, then we must understand it rightly, because swearing an oath that can only be done in a religious way, but then the instructors are implying in a God-fearing way. May we then swear religiously by the name of God, and then the instructors, they are given to speak of two special matters. Yes, either when the magistrates demand it of the subjects, then we think to assert the truth, think of the courts, then people that come before the judge, then they are called upon to make an oath that they shall speak the truth and nothing but the truth. Think of Christ in the hall of Caiaphas. We have heard a few weeks ago that the high priest, that he has adjured Christ by the living God, whether he was the Son of God, and then he has answered, thou sayest it. But also when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity and truth, then we may also speak of a promissory oath, when we accept an office or a special place in government, then we are called upon to promise to the Lord that was His help, that we are called to be faithful. Thus then we hear a congregation, what a solemn thing that the oath really is. we read of the children of Israel, and when in the midst of the church, when oaths are made lightly, when they are made rashly, not with prayer, not with an impression of whom the Lord is, then the church has come to a very low ebb. We read of the children of Israel in Psalm 78, the verses 36 and 37. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. What an awful way to make an oath, when we are not serious, when we live in and with the world, when it is only duty, when we cannot say before an all-knowing God, "Ach, Lord, thou knowest how unable and how short I come, but ach, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest it is my desire that I may walk according to what I hope to promise. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongue, for their heart was not right with him, and neither were they steadfast in his covenant." The purpose of the oath, to confirm truth and fidelity, the glory of God, and for the welfare of our neighbor. Our second thought, the scriptural oath. The instructors, they always point to the scriptures. For such an oath is founded on God's word, and therefore was justly used by the saints, both in the Old Testament. Then we speak of oaths that man is given to make before the Lord. We also read of different oaths that the Lord has made. Think of Psalm 110 verse 4, where the Lord has sworn that Christ would be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And what a precious oath that the Lord has swore, as we read in Isaiah 54, "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, as so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, as saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." Many a child of God can speak under trials, under difficulties, distressed, many a riddle, and many a perplexity, that the Lord has used the appearance of the rainbow sometime, even a double rainbow, that it has been a special encouragement for his child. And to that end, after that oath, "O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundation with sapphires." But now the scriptural oaths. We have many examples in the Bible where oaths have been made, and not only by the saints, but also in reference to the heathens. And it is remarkable in the Bible when we read of heathens concerning an oath that they had such an impression when a person would make an oath before his God that such a one would never dream of lying, but that they would tell the full truth. We have the examples in Genesis 21 of an Abram, the father of the faithful, and Abimelech, that is the name given to the kings of the Philistines. And then concerning that land of Canaan, then we read different times that there was strife between also the herdsmen of Abram and the Philistines living in the land. And then in Genesis 21, then when they have come together concerning those matters, then Abimelech has asked Abram to swear an oath, believing that if an Abram would swear an oath in the name of his God, then he would not dare to not tell the truth. We read the same matter in Genesis 26 of an Isaac and Abimelech. Then by renewal that king has asked Isaac to swear an oath that there would be peace between the descendants of Isaac and the descendants of Abimelech, because Abimelech, all we read in that chapter, that the Lord is given unto Isaac 100-fold. We read more examples. Think of Rahab that has lived in Jericho. And when those two spies have come, oh, then she was given to declare that the inhabitants have heard of the wonders of the mighty God of Israel. And then Rahab, then she would hide the spies. But then she has said to the spies, you must swear to me, make an oath. Then by renewal, then even Rahab had such an impression that it has not even crossed her mind that if those spies would make an oath, that with the Lord's help, that they would not fulfill that oath. But we also have many examples of the church in the Old Testament. Abraham, in Genesis 24, when he has sent a servant believed to be Eliezer to go to Haran to fetch a wife for his son Isaac, then he has made that servant swear that under all circumstances that he would never take a wife from the Canaanites to be a wife for Isaac. In Genesis 50, at the end of the life of Joseph, then he has also asked the Israel to make an oath concerning his bones, that when the Lord would deliver that people, that they would carry his bones out of Egypt and bury them in the promised land. We have Joshua 9, the Gibeonites, when they have come even with deceit, then Israel has promised that they may dwell amongst them. And when that deceit was uncovered, then Israel was very upset. There were some that thought that they may not live, but then they have stressed the oath that they have made, the beautiful oath that Ruth has made when she was tested by a Naomi in the true work of the Lord that can stand some testing. Then they become not so angry so quickly, although it can fall in the flesh. But then when she was given to make that precious choice, thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Then in verse 17, then she has confirmed it with an oath. We read of different kings of Israel that they have also made a covenant with the inhabitants of Israel, King Uzziah, also King Asa, and that the people were given to swear an oath that they would walk in the name, in the ways of the Lord, in the prophets. Then many times we read, as the Lord liveth. There are those among the Anabaptists that say it is true in the Old Testament. Then it was very common. But now we live in the time of the New Testament. Those that have Baptist tendency, they make a separation between the Old and the New Testament, also concerning the covenant and its external administration. But we have many examples in the Bible, also in the New Testament, where an oath was made. In the Gospel of John, then we read 25 times those words, verily, verily. In the Greek, it would be amen, amen. Then the Lord has spoken in the way of an oath. Also Jesus, when he is hung on the cross, the second crossword. What is that second crossword, boys and girls? What is the second crossword? The little ones maybe don't know, but I think the older ones, they know the seven crosswords. What is the second one? Where Christ has spoken to the thief, verily, that was in the way of an oath, verily, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Then further, we have mentioned already, Caiaphas asked an oath of Jesus. Oh, we also know of a Peter that he has made a rash oath. Not that he did not love his God, but out of fear. Then further, we shall mention 2 Corinthians 11, verse 31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Thus, many examples in the Scripture, both in the Old and the New Testament, where oaths were made. Our third thought, the witnessed oath, let us first sing. Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty at Horeb's mount gave their statutes and spake these words to hear and see. And what follows, Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. the swearing of a lawful oath religiously. The required oath, the scriptural oath, and now thirdly, the witnessed oath. May we also swear by saints or any other creatures. A question concerning the Roman Catholic Church. The answer, no. For a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely. Thus this answer that speaks about the sin of perjury, making a false oath, then we are asking God to witness a lie. Then our fathers have said it thus, further, then we take God's name in vain. We bind our soul to the devil, and many times we rob our neighbor of his name, of his goods, and of his life. Think of Naboth with those false witnesses, and that he was stoned. Then the instructors, they have said, as the only one who knows the heart. 'Tis a blessing when we may make a public oath that we may lay our heart open before an all-knowing, a just, an omnipresent, and an almighty God. And that we may say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest my desire. Thou knowest impossibilities. May our help be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And then the solemn words, punish me if I swear falsely. Congregation, how is it with the oaths which are made in the church? Have we departed so far as a church that so often that they are made rashly, that they are made lightly, with one hand holding hard to the world? Then we have said this Lord's Day concerning the oath has also much instruction for the coming Lord's Day when the Lord grants it. 'Tis a blessing when in the week before preparation, that there may be fathers and mothers that may be exercised with these matters. And not only the parents and those family circles, but also concerning God's people, to receive prayer for those parents, but also to be exercised with the sacrament, that it may be used for the strengthening of faith. Then it is necessary, because when we make an oath, then we must know what that oath concerns, and therefore necessary for fathers and mothers that they read together the form over, and to be given to speak about it and how it is. Many a father and mother has told me that as they receive more children, that oath only becomes heavier. Not such a bad place to be. Then how necessary to pray much unto the Lord, that he may be our helper ever near. Then an impression when we come in the house of God, that we come in a special presence, because the Lord has promised in Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. An impression, as I read in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 10, that in the house of God, in the church services, that the holy angels, that they are also present. Then an impression that when there are things amiss, that there must be repentance and seeking the Lord's help. And with our oath, that it can be seen in our family circle, in the congregation, and in the community. That means when we have made our oath, that we are not finished. This week, I have read of an office bearer that was buried. And then that daughter, then she was given to say, what a blessed testimony. No perfection. But then that daughter said, Father, he was the same man at home as when he had stood on the pulpit. Does not mean that there are not infirmities, that there cannot be difficult circumstances. No, for a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely. What must now take place when we have made a wrong oath? We have examples in the Bible that David, that he has swore very rashly concerning Nabal, because those servants of Nabal, David's servants, had been so good for the servants of Nabal. And when David has requested for some provision, it was refused. And then David has sworn an oath that before the next day there would not be one of those servants alive. I think of Herod when he has swore concerning John the Baptist, Martin Luther, when he has made an oath in the Roman Catholic Church. Then we must repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness. Then concerning this Lord's Day, of course, our little boys and girls, they have not made an oath, but for all the older ones, then an examination. It is to confirm fidelity and truth. What is fidelity? Faithfulness, to be dependable, trustworthy, devoted. Solemn words, fathers and mothers, when we present our little children to receive the Lord's thrice holy name, than the Lord asks us with the precious gift he has entrusted unto parents, as we have heard the last time with the sacrament out of Exodus 2 verse 9, take this child and nurse it for me. Then the Lord asks parents to be faithful, trustworthy, devoted, dependable, not to raise their children for the Moloch of the world, but that they may be instructed in that aforesaid doctrine, and by the blessing of the Spirit to be given to walk in the fear of the Lord. Then also concerning this Lord's Day, we have considered it a few weeks ago of Christ, where he has stood in the hall of Caiaphas, and where he was given, when he was asked, whether he was the Son of God, the mediator, to save his church, then he was given to swear that precious oath, thou sayest it. He was accused of blasphemy. Then there is a way also concerning the sins of this Lord's Day to receive the pardoning of all of our sins. Then by renewal, young and old, how is it when we have stood at the foot of Mount Sinai? I think of another oath, a danger in our day that we become discouraged, a dark, a still time that the unconverted they hear each time, guilty, becoming older, closer to eternity, is not for me. My only place shall be in the bottom of hell. I read of another oath which the Lord has made, and we shall close with that oath out of Ezekiel 33 verse 11. As I live, saith the Lord, that is an oath. He swears by himself. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee that thou wast granted another Lord's Day. But it is one Lord's Day less upon this earth than thou wast granted another soul's mark a day. May it please thee to be the after preacher and grant thy blessing. Thou wast given that we may commence another week. We humbly ask thee, may it please thee to remember and keep in the home. Remember the mothers and the children in the daytime, in the night watches. Remember on the way. Remember at work. And remember at school. Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger? Keep us from sin and temptation. Lord, remember in the day of tomorrow, when the catechism classes hope to meet once more, thou knowest most perfectly where the seed of thy word has fallen. Ah, may there be those word has fallen by the work of thy Holy Spirit on well-prepared hearts. May that take place also on the last time when we may gather, bring the congregation together for a weekday service. By renewal, we commend unto thee the needs of the realm of nature. Lord, grant traveling mercies. Well, thou watch over us in this night. May we arise refreshed according to body and mind, and receive health, strength, and joy to perform our labors. Although on account of our deep fall, there shall be many trials and many troubles. Well, to grant more that dependent life, may we be found more to be a praying and a begging people. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 428, the stanzas 8 and 10. Thy word is as a lamp unto my feet, a light upon my pathway unto heaven. I've sworn an oath which gladly I repeat, that I shall keep as always I have striven. And what follows, 428, 8 and 10. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.